Thank you. Well, let me first thank the organizers for this wonderful conference and for giving me this opportunity to speak. And I would like also to thank all those who remained for this talk. Okay, I will begin with some notations. So in this talk, G is going to be finite dimensional simple algebra over the field of the complex numbers. I fix the Cartan subalgebra H. Well, then for me, in the finite algebra, G hat is the central extension, the universal central extension of the loop algebra of G with the Euler operator attached. Well, when I say it's the Euler operator, I mean that the adjoint of D acts by T D on the T. Then I fix the index set of simple roots of G, and this index set of simple roots of the finite algebra will be denoted by I hat. Well, alpha I's are simple roots of G. Pi I's are fundamental weights of G. And I define the generator of imaginary roots as an element of H hat star, which is the sum of the vector space of H, and space spanned by C and space spanned by D, and delta on C and D, on C is 0 and delta D is 1. Finally, I fix the fundamental weights of the affine algebra, and the choice becomes unique if you require that they vanish on this Euler operator. I should probably say that alpha 0 is delta minus theta, and there theta is the highest root of G, and that I denote by alpha check, the coroot corresponding to alpha. Well, finally, I will also need three different weight lattices. First of all, the weight lattice of G, which is just the free abelian group generated by the fundamental weights of G. Then I embed it into the weight lattice, the truncated weight lattice of G hat, the free abelian group generated by the fundamental weights. The abelian goes as follows. We simply extend the fundamental weights of G by zero. And finally, this embeds into the full weight lattice of G hat, which is the direct sum of B and the fun group generated by delta. I will also identify P with P hat over the delta whenever the need arises. Okay, so now we'll fix the notations for the quantum algebras. In fact, I will be using two quantized versions of G hat. Well, first of all, take the algebra uq hat, well, which is generated by ei's, fi's, ki's, minus 1. Here I run over this index set of the roots, simple roots of g hat. Well, it's an algebra over the fields rational functions in one variable, and this you should take module some ideal. Well, probably everybody in this audience knows the definite relations, so I won't waste my time writing them down. But then the presentation of this algebra, well, we have this so-called loop-like generators, x plus minus ik, h and k I r. Well, we still keep k's, d's, and the central elements. Now I run through the set of simple roots of G. Now, the first algebra, the other algebra, well, you can just take the subalgebra generated by everything except d and c. Well, actually, it doesn't make that much sense. What you should actually do is to first to take the quotient of the first algebra by the ideal generated by this element minus 1, and then to take the subalgebra generated by everything but D. Well, if you prefer to think, you can think about this algebra as an algebra corresponding to in Q of L of G. L of G is the loop space. Okay, I will need a grading. There is a Z grading on both UQ hat and UQ. Well, it is defined by, well, you can set either set the degree of this element. To say that K and R and Z, and R is non-zero. So you're just setting the degree of this element to be K, the degree of this element to be R, and the degree of the rest of the elements to be zero. Or alternatively, you set the degree of all elements except for E0 and F0 to be zero, and the degree of E0 to be plus one, the degree of F0 to be minus one. Well, the other way of saying it is you say that X is homogeneous of degree, if X is homogeneous if dx d to the minus 1 is q to the kx, some k and z. Well, of course, it makes sense only in uq, u hat q. Okay, some more notation. Well, first of all, what is the weight module? And module type 1 is a direct sum of weight spaces, as usual. Well, the reason why I want to write it down is because I want to fix what weight space is, because it may become important. So you take, you say that an element is of weight nu if it satisfies the following relations. New evaluated alpha check M I hat, and also D on M. Well, now I'm talking about the UQ hat module. Well, so this should be delta. No, it should be mu on D on M. Well, if you want to define a type 1 module for UQ, you simply drop the last line of this definition. Well, and a UQ hat or UQ module is integrable if is of type 1 and on the EI, FI act locally and importantly. Okay. Well, I'm just going to see next. Okay, so we'll be concentrating on integrable modules with finite dimensional weight spaces over UQ hat. These are classified in our joint paper with Cherry. And the answer is if M is simple, the dimension of M nu is finite and M is integrable, then there are three possible cases. Either M is isomorphic to a highest weight integrable module, or M is isomorphic to the lowest weight integrable module, which I prefer to denote as a graded dual, or there exists an integer and a tuple of polynomials indexed by simple roots of g. Such with constant term 1, such that M is isomorphic to a Dirac summand in the tensor product V R delta, which is a one-dimensional module, if the loop space of a finite-dimensional UQ module corresponding to this tuple. Well, I will say a little bit more about it later. For the moment, it's just some symbol. Well, let me say a few words about highest weight simple interval modules. Well, these are essentially combinatorial objects for the following reason. Well, first of all, their construction is universal. That is to say, they can be defined for an arbitrary quantized Kac-Moody algebra. Well, second, they have a nice character formula, which is also universal and can be written down for an arbitrary Kac-Moody algebra. And finally, they admit a so-called crystal basis, which is a purely combinatorial object associated to such a module and which encodes a lot of important properties of this module. Well, so I will now introduce a notion of, now write down a definition of a crystal basis. Well, probably most of you know it, but later I will need to modify it a little bit, so I prefer it to be present on the board. So, what is a crystal basis? So, suppose that you have an integrable module. Yeah. You take the loop space. It needn't remain irreducible, but I'll explain it later. Well, then one may define the so-called Kashiwara root operators by taking the decomposition, SL2 decomposition, and introducing them as for SL2. So a pair is called a crystal basis here L is a free module, A module, there A is a ring of polynomials in Q localized at zero. And B is a basis of L over QL, which is a complex vector space. If the following holds, first of all, M is isomorphic to L in the scalars extended to the rational functions. Second, L is Dirac sum of weight spaces. And B is a union of weight components. Third, the Kashiwara root operators act on L, and so in particular they also act on B, on the quotient space. Fourth, that one I am going to modify later. That if you apply EI or FI to an element of B, then you end up with something which is either in B or zero, and the same for the S. And finally, if you have any two elements in B, then EI maps B to B prime if and only if FI maps B prime to B. One can reformulate the properties of crystal spaces in an abstract way and to define the notion of an abstract crystal as a set with root operators and some other operators which I don't have time to talk about. Well, so if you have a high-state integral module, then one can associate to it certain lattice and certain basis. Well, and what is also nice about this basis, that which as I said is purely combinatorial object, including a lot of properties of the module, is that it also has a lot of nice combinatorial realizations. So now I'll say a little bit about the path model. Perhaps the most universal one is the realization of Littlemann, because it works for all symmetrizable cosmology algebras. So what you do, you fix a weight lattice. You consider the real rational light space generated by this lattice, and you consider a set. This is not a projective space. This is a set of paths in the space XR. That is to say, a set of piecewise linear continuous maps of 0, 1 into XR such that pi of 0 is 0 and pi of 1 is an element of x. So later I'm going to use two lattices. So if I take p of p, that will be denoted by p, and p of p hat will be denoted by p hat. Well, then you define the root operators on this set by cutting paths according to the behavior of the function alpha I check minus alpha I check, if it doesn't really matter on P of tau. Well, and then one can prove that if you take B lambda to be the crystal, the set of paths obtained by applying all possible root operators to the linear path, then you get a crystal which is isomorphic as a crystal to the crystal basis B lambda of V lambda. Well, actually, this construction does not depend on the choice of path, as long as you choose the dominant path, which is the same the path which stays entirely in the dominant chamber, which ends at the same dominant weights. Okay, now, let me go back to the second case, the case of modules of level 0. Well, in this case, they are as uncombinatorial as one can possibly imagine. Well, the modules V of pi very seldom have crystal bases. Well, it is so rare that this should be considered as a miracle and rather than a rule. They are not defined by their characters up to an isomorphism. And so whatever you can imagine which can go wrong probably goes wrong. However, there is some class of these modules which are, as it turns out, in some sense combinatorial. Well, so let me first say a little bit about these modules. Well, it is already a well-known fact that finite dimensional UQ modules are parameterized by families of polynomials in one variable is constant term 1. So now, if you have such a tuple, fine, choose M maximal such that phi I is the polynomial mu to the M. then, well, such name always exists, maybe happen to be 1. Then, E of pi is isomorphic to the following tensor products. Well, first of all, what is pi zero? Pi zero is a unique tuple of polynomials with constant term 1, such that every pi I can be written as a product pi zero I of u, pi zero I of zeta u, etc., pi zero I of zeta m to the minus 1 u. Now, zeta is an nth primitive root of unity. And phi z is an automorphism of uq, which multiplies a homogeneous element by its degree. So phi z star is a pullback of our module, or a twist of our module by this automorphism. Now, actually, it is not hard to see that doing this corresponds to changing the variable by zeta. So if you have this, then the loop space of V of pi is direct sum of precisely m simple components, which are generated by the highest weight vector. Well, this is not a real highest weight vector, but this is what is called the highest weight vector for these fine-dimensional modules, tensored by t to the r. And the way to see it is that there is a map, a linear map, of V of pi into itself, such that eta xv is zeta to the minus degree of x. X eta of v, if x is homogeneous, and it can be extended to an endomorphism of the loop space and that defines your an action of the cyclic group for the M on the loop space, and then the simple components that one can show correspond to distinct characters, irreducible characters of the abelian group. That's the same pi mar. Just forgot to underline it. It was supposed to be both pi. That's the highest weight vector. That's the vector which is killed by all x I k plus and is sent to itself by the h time generators. It is unique up to the scalar and it is the highest weight vector for uq of g. Okay. Well, Nakajima calls it L highest weight vector. Some people call it L highest weight vectors. Okay, so now what is the simplest possible polynomial in U to the M? Well, VR delta is the highest weight module of highest weight R delta, which is one dimensional. To erase this. So what is the simplest possible polynomial in U to the M? Well, it should go the form delta ij 1 minus U to the M. Right? So the corresponding pi zero is just 1 minus U. So I will denote the corresponding module by omega I m, and if m equals 1, I simply write w omega I. So Kashiwara proved several nice facts about these modules. So first of all, this module has a crystal basis, an honest crystal basis. Well, once you have crystal basis, you can start taking tensor products of crystals. In particular, you can take tensor product of B of omega I itself. What you get is B of omega I to the M, which is indecomposable, or as crystal graph people prefer to say, connected, for all M greater than zero. So in particular, if m equals 1, you get the fundamental representation. Well, there is always this normalization problem. Some people, different people use different normalizations, so, but it boils down to the same thing. So the normalization which I use, it corresponds to 1 minus u. If you want to get Nakajima's normalization, you should introduce q to the minus double Coxeter, dual Coxeter number. In any case, it's polynomial of the form 1 minus q to some power u. It's a direct summand, not a direct sum. Okay. Well, number C, this module is uniquely up to at least by an automorphism of this form, determined by its character. Well, now what? We want to construct a crystal basis of the module of this module to begin with. Once we know we've done that, we can always take the what Kashvar calls the affinization to get the crystal basis of the loop space of this module. Unfortunately, this module does not have a crystal basis. What it has is what I call a z-crystal basis. So, again, we have an integrable module. Well, the definitions of the operators are exactly the same as Kashvar is in Kashvar's papers. So the only thing which changes is here. Well, Z is a complex number, an invertible complex number. So then you apply E trivial to an element of B. You need not end in B. What may happen is that you have Z to some power. And this power should be zero except for the zeros node. Well, of course, then you won't have what is written in the last line. So what you will have is something like this. You would need the same power. Okay, well. So let me formulate. I'm actually running out of time. Do you mind if I take 5 more minutes? Now I will be able to formulate the results. Well, by the way, I forgot to say that the main part of what I'm talking about is contained in my paper, which will appear in Journal of Algebra, and in a joint work with Polyxenia Lampru. Okay. So now we are able to formulate the result. So let MR be the rth component of L of W omega I M. Then MR has a Z crystal basis L and R V and R. Well, I'm not going to define L, simply define B. There B and R is the set of all elements B in the nth tensor power of Kashiwara's basis, crystal basis for this module. It's not what I wanted to say. So you take all elements of this form, n is in D, and you have an extra condition that a certain function, which I call the major index, modified major index of B plus n, equals R mod M. I'll now define the major kind. So the major kind of B, of the tensor product of the form B1, Bm, is the sum of K, K, Bk plus 1. K goes from 1 to M minus 1. And here chi is the energy function. Well, those existence was established by Kashiwara. Well, he proved that the isomorphism between C star Z1 V of pi 1 of V of W omega I tensor at C star Z2 W omega I, so the same guys take those product is taken in the reverse order, descends to the tensor product of lattices, and also descends to the tensor product of crystal bases, which are actually the same because this map is trivial as a map of vector space. And finally, what you get is a map from B omega I square to Z, such that this tau for B1 tensor to B2, which are now views as one line in here and another line in here, equals Z1 over Z2 chi B1 B2 B1 B2 mod Q. Well, here B1 tensor B2 is a genuine element of an abstract, of the tensor product of abstract crystals. And in here, B1 is in this module, and B2 is in this module. Okay, so that's this major function. Why I call it the major function? Because if the set B omega I happens to be completely ordered, well, then this can correspond to this usual standard major index of McMahon. And that's indeed the case for SLN and the first fundamental module. Okay, that's the first result, and the second result, well, I would like to produce a crystal, a realization of this crystal basis. Well, you will say that you have a deep crystal basis, that's okay, but you don't have a crystal. Well, and you would be completely right, but I can get rid of this problem in the following way. Well, of course, B is not a crystal. However, I can take a union of over all integers of the guys on this form, and of course, this will be a crystal. Now I can define an equivalence relation on this set. I'm saying that B1 is equivalent to B2 if B1 is Z to the R B2, some R. So So then I divide by this equivalent relation. I get something which identifies with B as a set, and which is already a crystal. So that I call the associated crystal of a Z crystal basis. So now, you can prove in the following. So let's take the associated crystal of B hat R. It is isomorphic as a crystal, as an honest crystal, to B and omega I plus R delta inside P hat. Well, by this I mean the set of paths which you obtain by taking the linear path connecting zero with this weight and applying all possible crystal operators. Well, so one more thing which I'll take, I just should make a remark about this result. Well, the first case, and M is arbitrary, G is isomorphic to SLN, and I equals 1 was considered in my paper, which will appear in the Journal of Algebra. A few months later, appeared a preprint by Naito and Sagaki, which now appears as a paper in IMRN. In which I treated the case M equal 1, G arbitrary, and I arbitrary. Sometime I was trying to make a completely independent, well, we were trying to make a completely independent proof of this result. Well, we didn't manage to do it. We have to use Kashiwara's results on W of omega I, and we also have to use one of their results. And however, using all this, we managed to treat the case, the arbitrary case of the fundamental type, well, and actually we have some reasons to believe that this modules, this class of modules is probably the widest class which can be treated inside this Littlemann path model. So that's, I'm sorry for taking more time, and that's all I was going to say. Thank you.